Welcome to the Unveiled Christ to the World broadcast with Reverend Judith Ann Glass. For over 40 years, the prophetic ministry of Brother and Sister Glass have gone around the world bringing the living Word of God to multiply thousands of people. Get ready to receive a fresh message of faith and hope that will bring you into new dimensions of the love of God. You can be that overcomer God has called you to be as you behold Him, the Unveiled Christ, in all of His matchless glory. Listen now to the whole Word for the whole man to the whole world, ministered in the power and anointing of God's Holy Spirit.
You don't have any problem that a miracle from God can't solve. Greetings, radio family. This is Sister Judith, and I'm so glad you joined me today. We're continuing on in a message I began to introduce yesterday, which I've entitled Restoring Vision. And the text we're looking at is one verse of Scripture, and I'm going to be sharing some teaching on what the meaning and understanding of that is, and that is Proverbs 29 and 18, where there is no vision, the people perish. But he that keepeth the law, happy is he. That is the Authorized King James translation. Others, like the modern language, say where there is no vision, the people run wild. Without prophecy, the people become demoralized. And we're going to be looking at just what God is saying to us through this scripture. And as I shared yesterday, that Hebrew word for vision means mental sight, a dream, a vision, a revelation, an oracle, a prophecy. And we began to try to understand God's desire to communicate with His people. And to do so, He is, ever since the outpouring of the Holy Spirit, He established a form of church structure and government, which is now being restored to the church. In the book of Ephesians, the second chapter, verses 19 and 20, the word tells us, "Now therefore ye are no more strangers and foreigners, but fellow citizens with the saints and of the household of God, and are built upon the foundation of the apostles and prophets, Jesus Christ Himself being the chief cornerstone." I'll read verse 21, "In whom all the building, fitly framed together, groweth unto a holy temple in the Lord, in whom ye also are builded together for an habitation of God through the Spirit." The Word of God tells us that God is building a temple not made with hands. He's not dwelling in an edifice, a temple, as He did of old, the glory of Solomon's temple in that holy, most holy place. But now He has chosen to dwell within the physical temples, the physical body of every born-again believer. And we are called lively stones, and He puts us, places us in the body as He chooses. And I won't turn, but there, you know, Paul is exhorting and teaching the people of God, you know, we have to be happy and content and cheerful and actually filled with rejoicing that God has placed us in the body where He desires, because we have been given essential, important gifts that are absolutely critical and crucial for the healthy and resilient functioning of the body of Christ. When He uses an example, I mean, for example, if our some tiny member, like a little toe, have you ever really hurt your little toe or broken it? I mean, it affects your whole body, your ability to walk. It hurts. That's why He said, you know, when one rejoices, we should all rejoice. When one is mourning or in grief, we should weep with them, because we are a body. And the wonderful thing about it is we are the body, and there's one head, and that head is the Lord Jesus Christ, praise God. And He directs what, and He says what the body should do. He teaches us the way in which we should go. He leads us in the paths of righteousness for His name's sake and for the glory of God the Father. And so we are built on the foundation of Jesus. And then we also see in Ephesians, the fourth chapter, that verse 11, He gave some prophets, apostles, pastors, evangelists, teachers, the fivefold ministry that God has given to function in the church today. Now that we've established that, let us look how God chose to deal with his people. Well, as we go back to the very beginning in the book of Genesis, we see that God is a God of relationship. When he created Adam and Eve, it says he came down in the cool of the day and walked with them in the garden. He loved to talk with them. He loved to fellowship with them. And wouldn't it be wonderful to know what they talked about as they walked about that paradise, the Eden of God? And perhaps we shall one day when we are with the Lord and we'll be able to ask questions of Adam and Eve. Just think of that. Doesn't that just thrill your soul? Not only that, we'll get to meet all the saints of old, the prophets of old, those who wrote the Old Testament, the New Testament. I don't know about you, but I can hardly wait. Well, we have to be content. Right now, God has, as long as we have breath in our body, we have a purpose to fulfill. He says, occupy until I come. Whether he comes to rapture his church, his saints to be with him, or whether we go by way of the grave, whether we live or die, we are the Lord's, praise God. And so, let us now look at what God did in the old covenant, because we know when Adam and Eve sinned, that there was a separation, a spiritual death that occurred. There was the inability to fellowship with God as they had so freely in the garden. But in those very opening moments when God addressed Adam and Eve and he said, "What have you done?" He gave a beautiful promise that said the seed of the woman, there was a seed coming that would crush the head of the serpent. The serpent would bruise the seed. The seed's heel, of course, we're talking about Jesus, who is the Savior of all mankind. He is the Redeemer who came to rescue man from his fallen, sinful, wicked state of alienation from God. And when Jesus came in the fullness of time, and he was willing to become obedient unto death, even the death, the humiliating, horrific, most horrible punishment, the most excruciating execution form that the Roman government, the Roman mind could devise. He was willing to suffer that anguish, the physical pain, as well as suffering and separation from the Father, because he loved mankind so greatly. He loved us, you and I, so much. Every single soul, he came that not one should perish, but that all should be saved and have everlasting life. That's why Paul told Timothy, pray for all men. We know from the Word of God there are those who are going to stiffen their necks and harden their hearts, and they will refuse so great a salvation. That's why Jesus said, broad is the way, wide is the way that leads to destruction, and narrow is the way that leads to everlasting life, and few there be that find it. Nonetheless, we are to pray that we would be responsible, that God would hear our hearts crying out for the souls of men. This is the purpose of revival, that not one should be lost. And whether or not what an individual heart does in their relationship with God, whether they bow and surrender to him in humility and a contrite heart, or whether they harden their necks and say, I want none of the gospel of Christ, that good news, and becomes like Lucifer and serves Satan, who will be, he said, I would be like the Most High. I will exalt myself. Oh, beloved, it is our responsibility to pray and leave the judgment to God. But under the old covenant, God established principles, and he raised up the prophet, the king, the priest to be, if you will, an intermediary between him and God. In the New Testament church, he built the church upon the apostles and the prophets. But under this old covenant, because the Holy Spirit was only given to leaders of the people of God, the king, the prophets, the priest, we find that under the old covenant, God made himself known to his people by means of the prophet. He gave direction through the priest. Remember, the high priest had the Urim and the Thummim, which gave direction to the people. And in Numbers, the 12th chapter, verse 6, the Lord said, if there be a prophet among you, I, the Lord, will make myself known unto him in a vision. I will speak unto him in a dream. Let's go back to that, our text, where there is no vision, the people perish. So God is saying through his prophets, he will give a vision. He will make himself known to the prophet in a dream so that the people will have a vision, if you will. And then we understand that also prophets are skilled in interpreting the visions of God. We see that through the major prophets. I'm thinking of Daniel. God gave him understanding. Sometimes they did, or Ezekiel, they didn't have understanding, but God was able to make known to them to a limited degree that which was to come in the end times. And even to this day, we have imperfect knowledge of the revelations that God gave to the Old Testament prophets. But as we have a need to know them, he will cause them to be unveiled to our hearts and minds. And it is said of the Hebrew children, remember, in captivity, God gave them knowledge and skill in learning. And then we understand in Daniel 1:17 that Daniel had understanding in all visions and dreams. Also, we know that God made his will known by visions. And we see in terms of God's promises to David, I'm going to be reading the Revised Standard Translation of Psalm 89:19, where the word of the Lord says, "Of old thou didst speak in a vision to thy faithful one and say, I have set the crown upon one who is mighty, and I have exalted one chosen from the people." Well, we'll look a little more closely at that tomorrow as we pick up right there. But for now, I must bring this broadcast to a close. I do invite you to write and share your personal specific prayer needs, or if you're being blessed by the broadcast, I'd love to hear from you. And as the announcer gives our contact information, should you choose to email, I will always confirm receipt and pray for whatever needs you share. But if you would like the ministry and the encouragement of the Holy Spirit, I invite you to share your mailing address so that I could respond back to you personally. I thank you so much for joining me. I trust the Spirit bears witness with you that I do love you deeply, and I'm faithful to pray for you every day, my radio family, and of course, my dear UCM family, my partners. I appreciate and love you more than words can say, your prayerful as well as your financial support. God bless you, and until tomorrow, this is Sister Glass saying, may God's best forever be yours, is my prayer.
You're listening to the Unveiled Christ to the World broadcast. Thank you for joining us. You're invited to write Sister Glass at P.O. Box 577, Caldwell, Idaho. 83606 is the zip code. That's Post Office Box 577, Caldwell, Idaho. 83606 is the zip code. You're also invited to visit our website, unveiledchrist.org. You can learn more about Unveiled Christ there, as well as email Sister Glass. Again, that's unveiledchrist.org. And please remember as you write that your prayers for this ministry are greatly valued, and your tax-deductible gifts of support enable us to keep this radio program on the air. Thank you for joining us today. Until next time, God bless.